All right, so today we are continuing on in our series called Best Sermon Ever on Jesus's Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And so what I want to do right out of the gate today is I want to read today's verse and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so if you're following along your Bibles, it's Matthew chapter 5. We're in verse 7 today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And this is what Jesus teaches. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I'm going to say that again. Jesus teaches us, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." All right, so last week I turned 52 years old. Yikes, right? And for some reason, on this birthday, I was a little more reflective than usual. I was looking back on my life with a sort of introspection. I was thinking about my life as a husband and as a father and as a pastor. And as I looked back on my life, there are definitely moments that I wish I could have back, right? Conversations I wish I could redo. Decisions I wish I could undo. Opportunities that I missed. And even though God has used every step of my journey, even my mistakes, to bring me where I am today, I'm deeply grateful that my life has not been defined by my worst moments. Do you understand? I am grateful that my life has not been defined by my worst moments. So let me ask you something. When was the last time you messed up and you hoped that someone would be gentle with you? Think about it. When was the last time you messed up and you hoped that someone would be gentle with you? Maybe it was something you said, or maybe it was something you did, or something you wish you could take back. And you don't want that moment to define your character, to define your relationships, or to define the story of your life. Now, the truth is, we all want patience when we're struggling, right? We all want understanding when we're going through a difficult time, when we're hurting, right? We all want mercy when we're failing. But here's the tension we live with. We want people to be gentle with us when we mess up. But if we're being honest, we're not always as gentle when others do. We want grace for our mistakes, but oftentimes we want consequences for the mistakes of others. And right there, right in that tension, Jesus speaks, "Blessed are the merciful," not the self-righteous, not the loud, not the outraged, the merciful. Now, before we get too deep into what Jesus is saying here, I want to bring us back to the foundation we laid at the very beginning of this series, because if we forget what Jesus means by blessed, then everything he says here will sound either unrealistic or confusing. So, as I talked about a few weeks ago, the word Jesus uses that translates as blessed here in our Bibles is the Greek word makarios. Again, that word makarios, it doesn't describe a mood or a feeling. It doesn't simply mean a feeling happy. It describes a settled condition, a life that God himself calls good. In the Hebrew and Aramaic sense, the word blessed it means to have a flourishing life aligned with God's kingdom, right? So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful," he's essentially saying the merciful are the ones who are living under the favor of God, secure, approved, and aligned with his kingdom, regardless of their circumstances. In other words, blessed isn't how you feel. Blessed is where you stand. And that matters today because mercy doesn't always feel good, right? Forgiving doesn't always feel powerful. Showing compassion doesn't always feel safe or comfortable. Letting someone off the hook doesn't always feel fair. And if blessed meant comfortable or respected or safe or protected, none of us would choose mercy. But if blessed means belonging to God and aligning our heart with his, then mercy becomes the most natural thing in the world. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful," he's not promising an easy life. He's promising a kingdom-aligned life. Do you understand? right? And that brings us straight into the heart of what Jesus is teaching here, right? Because we live in a world that trains us not to be merciful. You know, I once heard someone say that grace is getting the favor you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting the judgment you do deserve. And when you and I stand before a holy God, the last thing we would ever ask for is justice. Justice would be devastating. What we need is mercy. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy," he's not saying we earn God's mercy by being merciful. Listen to me. Mercy is not achieved, okay? It's received. We don't show mercy so that God will love us. We show mercy because God already has. The only reason that you and I are not condemned today is because Jesus stepped into our place and absorbed the punishment that we deserved for our sin. Mercy doesn't start with us. It flows through us. Now, some of you have heard me say this before, but I truly believe that a lack of mercy in our lives points to a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel. Because if we truly understood the mercy we received and the great price at which it was purchased, we would never dare to withhold mercy from others. Now, that's not me trying to sound poetic or profound. That's a spiritual diagnosis, because the gospel is not just that God forgives. The gospel is that God took the judgment we deserved onto himself. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a story of an unmerciful servant, a man who was forgiven of a debt so massive he could never repay it. Then that same man who was forgiven that massive debt went out and violently demanded repayment from someone who owed him almost nothing. And Jesus essentially says of that man that he had not truly understood mercy. Now, if I believe that I was only slightly forgiven, then the mercy that I would offer would be shallow. But if I know I was rescued from such a massive debt, from total judgment, and the mercy shown me was neither deserved nor earned, then mercy should be the most natural response in the world. So when we're quick to cancel, when we're slow to forgive, and when we're eager to condemn people and comfortable writing people off, listen to me, it's a gospel problem. It's a gospel problem. Mercy flows from memory, remembering what God has done for you. So I'm a child of the 80s. I gave away my age earlier in the message, right? I'm a child of the 80s. And one of the films that I loved growing up was The Karate Kid. And it, I know it's a cheesy 80s film, and it's kind of experienced this revival with the TV show Cobra Kai. But if you're familiar with that movie or the TV show, you know the philosophy of the big bad Cobra Kai dojo, right? This is what they taught. They say, "We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here in the streets, in competition, a man confronts you. He is the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy." Now, does that sound like Jesus to you? No. But that sounds a lot like our world, though, doesn't it? One of the most sobering things about our moment in history is how easily we celebrate the suffering of people we've labeled as them, right? Whether it's refugees or prisoners or addicts or the poor or people who vote differently than us, we become so quick to judge and slow to weep. And that should trouble us, right? Because Jesus never looked at a crowd and saw categories or labels. He saw sheep without a shepherd. But in our culture, we're trained to strike back, right? To cancel, to shame, to put on blast, to keep score. Even in the church, we've learned how to argue better than we love. We've learned how to identify sin, but we've forgotten how to restore sinners. And we warn each other, right? If you show mercy, people are going to take advantage of you. If you forgive that person, you're just going to get hurt again, right? If you give grace, you're going to get walked on. And you know, sometimes that's true. I mean, look at Jesus. But Jesus never promised us that mercy would be safe. He promised that those who are merciful would be blessed. Now, the word merciful that Jesus uses here in Matthew chapter 5, it means far more than feeling sorry for someone. It describes a heart so moved to compassion that it acts. The Greek word used to describe Jesus' compassion literally means to be moved in your deepest parts. Not pity from a distance, not polite concern. It's literally entering into someone else's suffering, walking with someone through their suffering. In other words, mercy is love in motion. It's love in action. Mercy is what caused Jesus to leave heaven and step into our brokenness. And that's what he calls us to do for one another. Mercy is not just something you feel. Mercy is something you do. And hear me out, church. Mercy is costly. I mean, it certainly was for Jesus, right? Whenever you step into the lives of broken people, you run the risk of getting hurt. When you choose to live mercifully, there will be times when you will be misunderstood. When you choose to forgive, you risk rejection. When you open up your heart, there will be times when you will be wounded. But as followers of Jesus, we have to refuse to let pain turn us cold. People who walk in mercy are not easily offended. They don't keep score. They don't reduce others to their worst mistakes. Listen, mercy doesn't deny the reality of sin. It chooses compassion over condemnation because that's how God treated us. Jesus doesn't say the merciful will be admired or respected. He doesn't say that they'll be protected. He says they'll be blessed because mercy aligns you with the heart of God. And the more you realize how desperate you need it yourself, the more you're inclined to give it away. So let's bring this all the way back to where we started. We talked about that moment when you mess up, when you pray, please don't let this moment define me. That moment when you need someone to be gentle with you, to show mercy. That is exactly how God has treated you. Not by pretending your sin didn't matter, not by lowering his holy standard, but by absorbing your judgment onto himself so you could stand forgiven. That's mercy. And Jesus says the people who are truly blessed, the ones living under the favor of God, secure, aligned with his kingdom, are the people that let that mercy that was shown them flow through them. So here's the honest questions we have to answer if we're truly to be people of mercy. The first question is this: where has my heart grown hard? When you look at the suffering around you, the suffering in this world, whatever that might be, ask yourself, where has my heart grown hard? Who have I quietly written off? Who have I reduced to a label instead of a person? Who do I talk about with more judgment than compassion? Because mercy always reveals what you believe. If you knew how deeply you've been forgiven, you will refuse to withhold mercy from others. So I've been toying with this idea and praying through this idea of closing my messages with a sort of discipleship directive, a challenge or an action point for the week ahead, right? To help you to grow and mature, to be doers of the word and not just hearers. So to borrow from Mission Impossible, here's your mission for the week, should you choose to accept it, okay? Ask God this week to show you one person that you have been withholding mercy from. Ask God to show you where your heart has grown hard, right? And to show you one person that you've been withholding mercy from. It might be someone who's hurt you. It might be someone who's disappointed you. It might be somebody who annoys you or irritates you or someone that you've judged. Maybe it's someone you've labeled or a group of people that you've labeled. And then, listen to me, in a concrete and intentional way, I want you to show them mercy. So what does that look like? That might mean sending an encouraging text, right? Telling someone you're praying for them, encouraging them with the gospel, right? Instead of saying silent. It may mean listening instead of correcting. It may mean forgiving instead of replaying the hurt that they've done, right? It may mean praying instead of criticizing, or going out of your way to help someone instead of avoiding them, right? Let God show you whatever it is. But remember this, church, mercy is love in motion. It's love in action. It's something you do, not because they earned it. I want you to hear me, not because they earned it. Remember, you didn't either. And that's what it looks like to live a blessed life according to Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, first and foremost, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you, God, that you are sovereign creator of all things, maker of heaven and earth, God. Who are we that you are mindful of us, that you love us, God, and that you demonstrate your love by sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, where we deserved justice, where we deserved punishment, where we deserved a death. Jesus stepped in and showed mercy and paid the penalty for our sins on the cross at Calvary, God. And we are so grateful for that, Lord. We're so grateful for the gift of salvation, Lord. We're so grateful for the grace and mercy that was purchased on the cross. God, help us to be people who realize the gift that we've been given in that mercy and grace and extend that same mercy to those around us, Lord. Every day we see hurting people. We see suffering all around us, Lord. And it's so easy in this world to sort of put up these barriers and to ignore the suffering around us, or to let it irritate us, or to let our hearts grow cold and hard towards it, Lord. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to see others the way that Jesus sees others, to love others the way that Jesus loves others, Lord, and to step into their hurting, into their suffering, and extend mercy to them. Lord, help us to be a people who are merciful in the same way that you were merciful to us. God, we thank you, God, that you're patient with us, Lord, that you are working in and through us, Father, to make us more like Jesus. I pray that we would walk in obedience to your commands and that we would experience the blessing that you promise, the flourishing that you promise, the favor that you promise us, Father, if we are obedient to being who you've called us to be. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it does not return void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent out to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.